Welcome to Act It. It is Bad Fan Fiction Week. People look forward to this week, Scarlett.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. So Scarlett and I each selected some fan fictions, and we sent them to you guys. Ragai, as winner of last week, he got to pick his fandom, and he wanted VH fandom. So Chuck and Shane, I wrote one for him. It's mostly me that wrote it. I'm just saying. As of now, I don't have an email from the pot, and lately my email has been screwing up, and the pot told me earlier this week he was submitting, so I don't know what's going on. So, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Normally, we were going to eliminate two people tonight, but if pot did not submit, we're only eliminating one person tonight.
Okay.
So I guess if you get saved tonight, don't feel too safe, because if the pot did indeed submit and it didn't go through, I will then go back and eliminate somebody else. Yeah, that's how we're going to do it.
Okay.
That's how we're going to do it.
That's how we're going to cross the bridge.
Yes, that's how we're going to cross the bridge. So I'll be honest, I have no idea what most of your fan fictions are from. So maybe you can help me out when we get to them. This first, Blackjack's up first. This is one, I think, is this mine or yours?
I don't know. I send fan fictions to you, and then you distributed them.
This is a Harry Potter Twilight.
Oh, crossover. Yeah, that one was the one I did.
This is Scarlett's Harry Potter Twilight crossover that she found, read by Blackjack AV. We're looking for people to read it like they've been hired to read a book on tape, so they're not supposed to be silly. They're just supposed to let the work speak for itself. Also, I just took a Percocet, 10 minutes ago, so it's going to get fun in a minute. Okay, let's listen.
The Perfect Couple, Chapter 1.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing. What are you saying, Edward? You're not making any sense whatsoever.
I'm saying I don't love you anymore. Everyone already left days ago. We got bored of playing with you, and we were only using you as a distraction anyway. It doesn't make much difference if we go or stay to us, so it shouldn't matter to you anyway.
2 weeks later. I couldn't wait till the end of the week. I was going back to Mrs. Weasley. She was like a second mother to me. Harry, my twin, Ron, Hermione, Ginny, Fred, George. I was also going back to Hogwarts in a couple of days. The only problem was I had to erase all the memories of me and Forks before I go, which is going to take a while, as I've touched so many lives for such a small town. I admit I will miss this perfect little village with horrible weather. And Charlie was a little surprised by the way I acted. He thought I would have died inside when the Cullens left. Even though it still hurts to think about them, I can't live the rest of my life mooping around all the time. When Friday came around, I was jumping around all day, saying bye to everyone and tacking pictures before I wiped all the memories in town, even Jacob's, which stung a bit. When I finally got home, I made Charlie some dinner and sat down and ate it with, and we talked a bit about work and school, and I put a sleeping charm on him, kissed his forehead, and wiped his memory clean of me, and went to finish packing my trunk before my portkey came to take me to the Barrow. I'm only 16. The flash of light told me it was time to go. I grabbed my bag quickly as I started to spin round and around, never stop, when suddenly I was slammed into concrete, and the familiar smells hit me like a punching jinx. Oh, how I miss these smells. As I stood up, I was almost knocked off my feet again. I hugged back as I saw it was Ginny and Hermione. I looked up and saw Harry and Ron walking toward me, and gave a great grin to my brother, who was probably the person I missed most. I realized I hadn't changed my appearance back to normal yet, as they started to laugh at the way I looked. I was a metamorph magi, like Tonks. I accurately had jet black hair and bright green eyes, like Harry. I was like a girl version of Harry, basically, if you think of it. We were on the train to Hogwarts. I was staring out of the window when I heard something that made my head snap around at lightning speed. Who was that name you just said? I asked Harry quickly.
Oh, I said there's apparently a very bad case of dragon pox or something going around most of the teacher. So there are new teachers called the Cullens, and they are vampire. Well, that's what the rumor says.
Harry replied curiously.
What wrong, Bells?
I was frozen where I sat. They were here. How was this possible? I thought they had gone north to live with the Denley clan. Why did they have to come here, of all places?
Harry was starting to look worried now, and he came over and called my name again, snapping me out of my trance.
I burst into tears in his arms. Everyone was staring at me with a surprised look on their face, but comforted me all the same. Once I was all out, I left Harry's shoulder. I looked up at everyone. With a questioning look on their faces, they all asked the same thing.
What happened to Forks?
So I just let everything that had been hidden inside me since the Cullens had left, the fact they had been vampires, and about me and Edward, and James. When I was done, I was suddenly blinded in bushy brown hair and long ginger hair as Hermione and Ginny rushed up to me and gave me a hug. Ron was rubbing my shoulder in a comforting way, but Harry looked murderous, like he was going to kill. I was watching him carefully when I was distracted by something at the door with gorgeous gray-blue eyes that I wanted to melt in. I would have thought he was a vampire if it weren't for the eyes.
What do you want, Malfoy?
Harry asked with every ounce of hate in his voice he saved for Voldemort as he rubbed the scar on his forehead, identical to mine, over my heart, which hurt even more than his sometimes. But this Malfoy didn't answer. He was too busy staring at me with adoring eyes. Harry stood up and said,
I was the one that asked you, not my sister. Now answer me, idiot!
Malfoy glared at my twin and left with a strange look on his face. Everyone relaxed as we came towards a stop. I was hoping to spiritedly that these rumors were completely false, and that the Cullens were with the Denleys, and that I would never have to see them again. But as I entered the Great Hall, I realized my hopes were for nothing as I saw the five Cullens at the Great Table.
Chapter 2.
I saw all of them there. Edward, Alice, Jasper, Emmett, Rosalie, Carly, and Esme. I was more thankful than ever before that Edward couldn't read my mind, because if he did, he'd see all the pain he and his family had caused me. Not that it would bother them much. I saw Alice staring at me with shock in her eyes, like she knew. She must have had a vision, I thought to myself, and as he read Alice's mind, it caused Edward to shoot around at me with love and sorrow on his, but I just turned away with my head down and walked over to the others. Harry was glaring at Edward with even more hate than he had with Malfoy, which I didn't think was possible. As the last bits of food disappeared from people's plates, Dumbledore stood in front of the school with a wide grin on his face.
Welcome to all our new students, and welcome back to all our old. As you can probably see, we have some major changes in staffing this year, as there is a server case of dragonpox going around the staff. I would like to introduce our new healer, as Madame Pomfrey is rather busy, as you guessed. So Professor Cullen will be taking over.
He pointed at Carly, and I heard a few swoon.
And his wife, Professor Cullen, will be teaching potions. And the other Professor Cullens will be teaching charms.
He pointed at Jasper.
Divination.
Obviously, he pointed at Alice beside him.
Quitch.
He then pointed at Emmett.
Transfiguration.
He then pointed at Rosalie, who, like Alice, was on the right of her mate.
And defense against the Dark Arts.
Everyone turned to face Edward, but he was still staring at me. I saw all the girls glaring at me with jealousy in their eyes, like they thought he was admiring me, not glaring. I admit I would have thought the same thing if it was me he was staring at me.
And finally, I bid all of you good night.
I was racing through the crowd as soon as he said that, trying to go to the bathroom before any knee could catch me, especially any Cullens. I got to the bathroom and fell down on the floor crying. I heard someone come in and place a cold arm around me before I could stop them. I looked up into a pair of gold eyes that was joined by the dreaded bronze hair that I had fallen for in Forks.
I'm so sorry I lied to you.
No, you're not. Just admit it, Edward.
I won't admit it because it's not true. Because I really do love you. And I can't do anything else. You're all I can think of since I left.
Well, what if I don't love you anymore?
Then you'll die alone, a bitter old woman. Simple. As who else is going to have you like this, Bella? Change back, Bella.
No. This is how I really look. And I like it.
Change back now, Bella, or I will hurt you, you stubborn little girl. Mm-mm. You are so stupid sometimes, Bella!
He slammed me against the wall.
Now look what you've done, idiot!
He said, kicking me in the ribs. I heard something crack. He spat at me and stormed out the room. I was lying there, just crying, scared he would come back to finish the job. When I heard the door open again, I was so scared. But I looked up and saw gray blue eyes and fell into Draco's arms.
Who did this to you, Bella?
My ex-boyfriend. One of the Cullens.
Which one, Bella? And I swear I'll make him pay for this.
Edward. It was Edward.
I promise, Bella. I will get him back for doing this.
It's okay, Drace. I'll live. I pulled out my wand and mended my broken ribs.
You're amazing, Bella. You know that?
I stood on my feet and walked over to the mirror to fix my face and robes. I turned around and I was suddenly kissing Draco with everything I had. His hand on my back and in my black hair. Our tombs battling for dominance. We only pulled away because we had to breathe. And as we parted, he conjured up a white rose and gave to with a bow and turned to leave the bathroom. I was left woo right back at sea from the kiss and wish he would come back. Finally, I had found a perfect match.
Chapter 3. I was walking back to the dormitory. What had just happened between Malfoy and me was still racing through my head, making me feel dizzy as he twisted the rose through my fingers, between my fingers. What was wrong with me? I could let myself hurt like that again. I wouldn't. I was going to have to talk to him in the morning and sort things out. I couldn't date anyone just yet. I still had a hole that was admittedly being filled up again rather quickly by Malfoy, and what Edward had just done to me, when a cold hand grabbed my arm, snapping me out of the dream I was in with Malfoy.
Bella, I'm so sorry what Edward has done to you. I saw it at dinner and I was coming to warn you, but...
It's okay, Alice. You couldn't have anything. He was fixed on what he was going to do as soon as he read Draco's mind. Just wait until I tell Carly about this.
I can't! Edward could do something like that to you. And who's Draco?
A strange look came onto her face. She must be having a vison. I pulled her into the nearest closet and prayed it would all end soon.
Ah, Bella, I'm so happy for you. You're going to get married and have a big white wedding. I can't wait. You're going to be so happy,
she said, snapping out of her trance-like state. Okay, Alice, calm down. We're going to take it slow. You can't tell anyone it's me, not even Jasper. I came here to make a new start after you left.
Fine, but I will have to tell them sooner or later. I've missed you so much, Bella. I can't believe I've got you back. I didn't want to go, by the way.
And with one last hug, she left me in the closet to think by myself once again. With the rose still going through my finger, finally I entered the dormitory and sat by the fire to finish my thought of Draco and how we were going to be really happy together. But what was I going to do about Edward, though? If he was going to be like this towards me, then I was going to have to do something, and fast. But just as before, my thought were pushed to the back of my mind as someone sat into the chair next to me. I saw it was Ginny and relaxed instantly.
Who is it, then?
She stared at the rose in my hand.
Don't know what you're saying. What about you and Harry, then?
She turned bright crimson and muttered something like he don't feel the same way. Trust me, Ginny. And this is coming from his twin.
He does,
I said, bringing a smile onto her face.
Anyway, enough about me. Just tell me who it is.
I shocked my head at the pleading in her voice.
No way. You're gonna have to figure it out yourself, or you've gotta ask Harry out.
Her face turned red again with the thought of it. But at that point, Harry walked down the stairs and saw the rose, and the temper was back on again. He is so protective, it was unbelievable.
If any of you ever get kidney stones or something that allows you to take Percocet while listening to the Act of Bad fanfics, I highly recommend it. Because this is the most entertained I've been in a long, long time, Scarlett.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes. I'm eating Arby's on Percocet listening to people read bad fanfictions. What could be better than that?
Nothing.
Exactly. Oh, we have to critique it, though, which makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like critique. Okay. You were really good at catching things, like the inflection on you're not making any sense whatsoever, because it had a question mark at the end. I liked that. I liked the background music. I liked that you caught mooping around all he time. Like, you read this very, very adeptly for the amount of typos in this. Excuse me. It was maybe a little bit fast overall. The way that you were reading it felt very frantic. And so the longer it went on, the more, like, stressed out it made me. Because I think you were rushing it a little, but I know it was long. I said in the email that mixing and effects are allowed, but don't go overboard. Because you're supposed to be reading it, like... Man, I say a lot when I'm doped up. And this was... I said in the email that mixing and effects are allowed, but don't go overboard. Because you're supposed to read it like you were hired to read an audiobook. And this was maybe bordering on too much. Like, when you had everyone saying... What happened in Forks? Like, when you had a bunch of voices? I can't really picture that in an audiobook reading. This was overall maybe a little too acty and not enough narrative for me. But as far as the entertainment value goes, and as far as your... I mean, it was very entertaining.
It was very entertaining.
And I think you did a good job with that. I don't think this would be something that would be in the bottom, but I do think that it was bordering on being too acty and not enough narrating. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I also thought that there are points where the sound effect really fit in, but there are other points where it really stood out and kind of felt a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, music too. A lot of the music was put into place, and it was really, it was a good choice.
Right.
I thought you did a good job for doing characters and whatnot. Because it does sometimes when you put in characters, it just does not work.
Yeah.
And you're just like, why are you doing that?
And like you said something when we were listening, it was more like a kid's audiobook, which I could get that. I get that.
Yeah, and when you think about it, both of them are kind of directed for kids.
But I don't think the Harry Potter audiobooks are like this.
Well, I feel kind of bad judging this round because I don't think I've actually like ever listened to a real audiobook. So.
Well, that's you have to judge it, Scarlett. You have to.
Yeah, I know. So,
overall, you enjoyed it, right, is what you're saying?
I did enjoy it, though. It was very enjoyable. So I think you did a really good job with what we gave you.
Do you think that if the author had been paying him to read this, they would be pleased with this interpretation of it?
Probably.
Not this particular author, but if it was a normal person.
A normal?
He did write about Edward Cullen kicking the shit out of Bella.
I'd say so.
Edward was such a dick in this fan fiction.
Yo, man. That's just mm-hmm. how you gotta be. There were some moments where I was like, really?
Well.
But it was, aside from the fan fiction itself, you did a very good job, Blackjack. So, good job.
It's about to get a lot darker because now we're about to hear the dark side of Harry Potter.
Oh.
A fanfic that I picked out called Darkness Rising, and this is Apotheria is gonna read it.
Oh.
Darkness Rising by Mockwee. Author's note. I finally wrote a fanfic! Maybe somebody will read this one. All my poor originals have to be force-fed to my friends. No one else even knows they're there, I think. Oh well. All I ask for is reviews! Darkness Rising. Harry's summer had gone horribly. His books and broom were locked up, Hedwig was out for the night, and he'd been sent back to the cupboard under the stairs for pissing off Dudley. He'd had no word from Ron, Hermione, or Sirius, and he had no idea what was going on in the wizarding world. To top it off, it was August, and it was raining. Harry couldn't stand it anymore. He was going out. Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia hadn't and wouldn't object to him going out into the rain without telling them. They could only pray he would get run over or die from pneumonia. He grabbed his jacket and walked silently out the door. Since he'd exchanged some of his wizarding money for muggle cash, he could afford to go get something to eat, at least. While walking down some random street, he found a lone hot dog stand open in the rain. Feeling sorry for the girl behind it, he decided it was hot dogs for dinner tonight. He walked over to her and was about to order when a strange sensation came over him. This girl was a witch.
Can I have a chili dog, please? He asked, pondering whether or not to ask which wizarding school she went to.
Sure. That's, $2.75, please. Harry handed her the money, noting her American accent.
If you don't mind my asking, you aren't from around here, are you?
She shook her head. No, I'm a California girl. I'm here to meet my grandfather, I guess. You don't want to hear about me, though, she shook her head.
Harry was caught for a moment, noticing just how pretty she looked. She had pretty brown hair with bleached streaks and amber eyes with flecks of orange and brown in them. Harry had grown a lot over the summer, but she was still just a centimeter taller. He smiled for her. It's not like I have something else to be doing. Why don't you tell me about it to save me from the loss of sanity to boredom? She chuckled softly. He noticed how sad her eyes were.
I'm Harry. Harry Potter,
he said, holding out his hand. She hesitantly took it.
Sandra Davis.
Harry quickly learned that Sandra was fascinating. Besides the fact that she was gorgeous, she was smart, too. She was a muggle, which confused Harry to no end, and had stopped going to high school in preference of the city college-level classes. She was apparently in England coming to visit her grandfather, whom she'd never met.
She apparently lived alone as well. I'm a little worried, though. I have to take the train in London to meet my gramps, but have you ever heard of a platform 9¾?
Harry was more than slightly surprised. Do you know what Quidditch is? He blurted out.
She shook her head.
All right, sorry. Do you know what your grandfather does for a living? Harry tried again.
He's headmaster of some school here. Hogwarts, I think. What a weird name. I mean, really. Almost as weird as his. Get a load of this. His name's Albus Dumbledore. Go figure, eh? She laughed quietly.
Harry was in shock. Albus Dumbledore's granddaughter was a muggle? He had a granddaughter? What in all hell was going on? She had magic? Why wasn't she at Hogwarts?
That's my school, Harry said, for lack of anything else. He's my headmaster.
Sandra looked a little surprised, and looked around to make sure no one else was on the street. Then she leaned in and whispered,
So that means you're the Harry Potter? The one who defeated this Voldemort guy?
Harry nodded, once more caught completely off guard.
Oh, good. My gramps told me to go find you, and you'd make sure I got to Hogwarts, all right.
She looked immensely relieved.
Harry had to stare at her for a minute.
I'm sorry, but you've confused the hell out of me. She smiled, but Harry had to notice again how it never reached her eyes.
Quote, she told him the whole story then. It turned out she was half and half. She'd always known her mother was a witch, but the whole family had gone with Sandra's father to live as muggles, even though he was outnumbered. Her parents had both died in a quote-unquote car crash when she was 5. In reality, a pair of Rouge Death Eaters had gotten them. Dumbledore hadn't taken her in because her parents had strictly told him she was to be left to grow up as a muggle. Now, though, it was too dangerous to leave her on her own, and he was bringing her where he could keep an eye on her.
Quote, I'm a little angry with my parents, actually, she said with a blank look on her face as she looked out into the rain. They should have let me make my own decisions instead of leaving me helpless like this.
Harry sighed. They probably thought I'd killed Voldemort properly. They didn't know I'd end up brining him back. She looked at him for a moment.
I heard about that. It wasn't your fault, Harry.
I should have known what was going to happen the minute my name came out of the Goblet of Fire. I'm
perfectly within the rights of being human, Sandra cut him off. No one can think of everything.
Harry felt strangely comforted. You're not a bad guy, Harry. I'm glad I met you. Sandra gave him a rare, heartfelt smile.
Harry couldn't help but smile back.
Hedwig came back that night, carrying 4 letters at once, one each from Ron, Hermione, Sirius, and Dumbledore. Harry opened the one from Dumbledore first, hoping it might have a few more answers for him.
Dear Harry, I trust Sandra has come to you safely by now. I also trust you have plenty of questions for me, the first of which I can answer easily. Yes, I have a granddaughter. Surprised? The rest of the staff will be too. I want you to take Sandra to the Leaky Cauldron Inn as soon as possible. I'm having the Weasleys pick you both up. Miss Weasley was insisting you two could stay with them, but I had to deny. They will be spread apart as well, so they'll be harder to target. Ron and Hermione will be staying with you at the Leaky Cauldron. I want you three to stay together. I cannot stress this enough. Sirius will be at the inn when you get there. Do take care, Harry. Albus Dumbledore. P.S. Do try and be delicate with Hermione when you see her.
Harry was less than settled by this. He carefully put the letter down and moved on to Hermione's letter, wondering why he should need to be delicate with her. His stomach dropped when he read the letter.
Dear Harry, do please forgive my lack of correspondence this summer. I was a bit preoccupied with a few affairs of mine. Death Eaters got to my father, Harry. He's dead. I can't stand it. I'm so scared. I just don't know what to do. I've been reading the Daily Prophet, and, Harry, it's terrible, horrible, absolutely terrifying. He's everywhere. Everywhere. And it's only the beginning. Hermione Granger.
Poor Hermione! Harry shuddered at what this letter was telling him about the condition of the wizarding world. Things were bad, and they could only get worse.
Dear Harry. God, Harry, this is horrible. Hermione's a reek. She came last night saying she just couldn't stay at home. I can't stand seeing her like this. And now Dumbledore's splitting up my whole family. To tell you the truth,
I don't think I'd want to be at Hogwarts this year. Come soon, Harry. Please, come soon. Ron.
Dear Harry, I'm cleared. We got Fudge to believe me about Pettigrew using Snape and Lupin as witnesses. I'll be coming to the Leaky Cauldron to keep an eye on you. Sirius.
Harry felt the largest headache he'd had in his life coming on. His friends were in danger. Voldemort was everywhere. He had to protect them. And now Sandra, too? This was too much. For the first time in his life, Harry wished he was just a muggle. Blissfully ignorant, not a care in the world.
Author's note. Summer! Infinite time to write fickies! Yes!
Chapter 2. Diagon Alley. The Weasleys came via flu powder the next morning. Harry's eyes were constantly downcast, and no one was smiling. This was worse than anything a normal person could imagine, but for Harry, this was all too real, all too easy to see.
"Hello, Harry, dear," Miss Weasley attempted.
Harry couldn't respond.
"Is Sandra coming?"
she asked, quietly enough so that he knew she wasn't trying to make conversation. He nodded. She should be here any minute. As if on cue, Sandra chose that exact moment to walk through the door. Harry had to smirk at Dursley's reaction to all the wizards in the living room. They were standing frightened in the corner, probably waiting to be introduced. Harry wouldn't even bother acknowledging their presence. Sandra's eyes hadn't changed, Harry noted as he passed her on the way to the fireplace. The flu powder threw him instantly to the Leaky Cauldron, no questions asked. Harry saw Hermione sitting alone at a table, staring at an untouched mug of butterbeer.
"Hermione," Harry said gently, standing next to her.
When she looked up at him, her eyes seemed a bit out of focus, but they quickly cleared and she stood up to give him a fierce hug.
"I'm sorry,"
was all he could say. Ron was next to come through the fireplace, and he rushed over to them as soon as he saw them, kissing Hermione's temple and asking if she was all right. Harry smiled, putting his hands up and moving away. Ron gave him a quick, appreciative glance. Harry'd figured that this would happen eventually. He was glad they could at least find a little comfort with each other. Sandra came out of the fireplace a moment later, looking unsure of what to do next. Harry beckoned her over.
"Guys, this is Sandra Davis, Dumbledore's granddaughter."
She gave them a small wave, looking at her feet. Hermione smiled for her, which surprised them all.
"I wish we could say welcome to the Wizarding World, but I'm afraid right now no one's in the mood to make you feel it," she said,
reaching her hand out to shake. Sandra accepted.
"Nice to see you all."
Harry turned to see Sirius walk down the stairs.
"Ah, Sirius, I'm glad we've at least got some good news."
Harry did not shove off the almost desperate hug he received from the man.
"I've been so worried about you, you wouldn't believe it." He squeezed Harry again before releasing him.
"I'm all right, I promise," Harry added in a little chuckle to attempt lightening the mood. Sirius looked over to Sandra.
"And this is Dumbledore's girl, am I right? What a pleasure to meet such a beautiful girl."
Sandra smiled prettily, but the mood was only barely lightened. The whole group sat down for dinner, which most of them just poked at. Harry noticed Sandra had mastered the art of moving her food around on her plate so it looked like she'd eaten without actually putting any food in her mouth.
"The inn was short on rooms, so we only have one for the four of us. That's all right, right?" Sirius informed them once the plates had been cleared. The guys looked at the girls and vice versa. Both sides looked questioningly at the others before all four of them let out one massive shrug. Four simultaneous whatevers got a laugh out of most all of them. Sirius smiled, the first to mean it all night.
"All right. Here's your key. Send Pig if you need me. I'll be staying out of sight. The Ministry conveniently didn't bother to inform the public of my innocence."
Harry nodded, taking the key. Sandra shivered.
"God, I'm freezing. Anyone happen to pack an extra jacket?" she asked, rubbing her arms.
"Hermione to the rescue!" The girl quickly performed a warming spell on Sandra, earning her a look of surprise bordering shock.
"Wow, I didn't really expect anyone to give a shit," Hermione smiled, second to really mean it. "As long as you're hanging out with us, we might as well be friends, right?"
Sandra was awestruck.
"You people amaze me," she said, shaking her head with a smirk. "I would love to be your friend, Hermione."
Harry's eyes glinted. He'd noticed how closed she was when they'd talked before. Harry could tell she wasn't usually surrounded by friends. It probably came from living alone for so long. That night,
Harry's bed ended up next to hers. He'd pretended to be asleep, but couldn't keep his eyes off her as she stared at the ceiling. At around midnight, when Hermione and Ron were most definitely asleep, she spoke.
Harry.
He opened his eyes, seeing as she'd figured him out.
I'm sorry,
he apologized.
Are you really?
She asked, eyebrow raised. She hadn't looked at him yet.
No,
he said truthfully.
I'm flattered, but aren't you tired?
Incredibly.
Go to sleep.
I'm not sure I can. She turned her head to look at him.
I know exactly what you mean, she sighed. You know how to play cards?
She asked, somewhat randomly.
Only a little, he admitted.
She sat up, pulling a deck from seemingly nowhere.
Get over here, then,
she said and began to shuffle. Harry found his mind settling as the night wore on, though not on cards. First, he'd watched Sandra's hands. They were perfectly shaped, gracefully shuffling and dealing the cards through skill born of long practice. Then the rest of her body captivated him. She was wearing only a tan, fitting tank top and plaid boxers. Her thighs were perfect, her stomach flat, and her chest full. Harry felt a blush come on as he realized his eyes had lingered. Then, her face as a whole. The dark amber orbs of her eyes, hidden by black, smoky lashes. Then her lips, peach-tinted, full and steadily, tantalizingly moving as she spoke to him. Her voice captured him lastly. It was very clear and oddly warm, despite her gruff vocabulary. She was so bittersweet. She put so much sugar on her words, one almost forgot there were swear words among her sentences. He wished he could just sit and listen to her for hours, no matter what she said. He had the odd thought that he wished she would sing, and then back down to her hands.
Hermione seems very nice, he came out of his trance to hear her say. She is.
He didn't look away from the cards.
Do you love her?
As a friend.
Are you sure?
Why do you want to know? An odd silence followed, and he cursed himself for speaking. She grinned after a moment.
I've had a friend or two before, believe it or not. Playing matchmaker is one of my other talents.
Harry smirked. Well, Hermione's all set. I'm already infatuated with someone else anyway. An evil glint formed in Sandra's eyes.
Really? Me too. Mine's Justin Timberlake. You?
Britney Spears, Harry replied casually. They both chuckled.
Harry, I can't thank you enough for all this. I haven't actually had a conversation with anyone for a long time.
Harry looked at her eyes again. No change, tragic as ever. No need to thank me, he said, unable to restrain his hand as it went to gently caress her cheek. Harry got up quickly, walking back to his own bed. We'd at least better pretend to be asleep when they wake up, Harry said, motioning to the sleeping Ron and Hermione. Sandra nodded, settling under the covers.
Night, Harry. Good night, Sandra.
Author's note. God, it's so hard to write out long chapters. That was a lot longer on paper. Review!
Apotheria. I have a question, because I'm not, I don't follow the Harry Potter fandom. But isn't Dumbledore gay?
Yeah, he is.
So how does he have a granddaughter?
Well, that's why it said that he was all confused, being like, how does he have a granddaughter?
Oh.
Remember?
He's a wizard.
He's a wizard.
He conjured the granddaughter up.
Yeah.
What did you think of Mr. Apotheria?
Actually, I thought it was pretty boss.
Yeah.
I loved your narrating. Oh, man. Let's see what else. I also love the quote-unquote. Does that normally happen in audiobooks or, like, audiobooks?
When what?
When there's quotation marks, quote-unquote.
No, but that was a nice time.
I heard that and I was like,
maybe it wasn't appropriate per se. I don't know the part exactly that you're talking about. Was it just the part where there was quotation marks in it?
No, well, yeah, it was about like a car crash or something.
Did it say quote-unquote in the text?
I don't know.
Okay.
I was only listening. I wasn't reading along.
See, that's
my bad. Sorry.
I'm trying to read along, but my mind is cloudy.
Why don't you just do control find and see if you can find quotation marks?
I don't feel like it. I feel sick.
Oh.
Continue.
I also like the mispronounced words. Those are nice.
I love the way, when you did the author notes, how yeah. hard you hit that F on Fickies. It made me laugh so hard. For this, you did do a British accent for Harry, but you didn't go crazy overboard on the voices, and that worked for me. I think that the British accent was a nice touch. The fact that you had no music in the background at all behind this, and it still kept our attention, I thought was great. It's like a fine, fine line you have to walk this week on not being overboard, but not being boring, and I think that you did that masterfully.
Yeah.
Sometimes your lines for the characters were bordering on overacting at parts, like, one time, I think Harry said something like, "I should have known what would have happened in the Goblet of Fire." It was so funny because it was really over the top the way that you read it, but that was few and far between. And overall, I think this was a great success.
Me too.
Do you have anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
Okay. Ryguy, again, requested a VH fanfiction, so...
Are we doing that now?
Well, yeah, so I was like, Trekkishu, do you want to write the fanfiction? Because she's, I had so much stuff to do, and she's good at fanfiction. So, she said, yeah, and I said, it has to be a certain word count, and she, thought I was talking about character count. So, she wrote, a third of the story, and then I wrote the other two-thirds of it. So, when it starts getting really out there, that's probably where I came in. But I try to include as many of you contestants as possible in the story, so I hope you appreciate that. This is called The Thursday... And it's Ryguy, and I'm ready when you are.
All right.